Well, good morning. I am Daniel Ferguson. I'm the youth pastor here at West Hill Community Church. And today I'll be speaking to us on the topic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we continue our series on communication. And we're going to be looking this morning at 1 Corinthians, primarily chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Gifts are significant, or at least they can be significant things. I found this on the internet when talking about the significance of gifts. People give gifts as a way of showing thoughtfulness, love, and affection. When we give gifts, it brings joy or pleasure to the receiver. That was actually from a website called the American Stationery Website. So what they're trying to tell you is, if you give someone a pen or a pencil or a ruler or something a bit more upper class, perhaps a very expensive pen, that someone is going to feel very loved and thought of. And that could well be the case. Gifts do show that you love someone, or at least that you care about them. And they show that the receiver matters to them, the person receiving the gift, or at least most of the time. I'm sure that you have never... how can I describe this? I'm sure that you've never let your face show what you really think of a present. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, when you get those presents and you think, that is weird, or yeah, I wouldn't have picked that for myself. I'm sure that you've never let your face show that. But have you ever got a gift and you've thought, that is just a bit useless, or at least I can't really use that, or it's not really something that I would have liked to buy for myself? Maybe you've went out at Christmas and, for instance, you know, you've not really been sure what your loved one or your friend might want, and you've gone for a bit of a stab in the dark. You've gone for a little kind of, this could be okay, this could be totally off. Or maybe you've just not been sure that the person would like it. My usual Christmas shopping routine begins either on December the 23rd or December the 24th. I'm not particularly proud to share that. I think things are going to change now that we've got two kids, and that will not be able to happen. I don't think it really happened last year. But I remember vividly one Christmas Eve, in fact, I remember rushing back from the city centre to lead worship at our 4 p.m. Family carol and family, mainly music service, whatever it might have been, because I was in the town doing all my Christmas shopping. Oh man, is anyone out there like that? Can anyone resonate with that? A bit of a shambles, Deferg, not gonna lie, but I've tried to not do that, but it just has happened. Rushed gifts sometimes don't hit the mark. The best gifts are those with a purpose, those that have thought behind it, those that have meaning behind the gift. And here are a couple of my most memorable gifts that I have received. So for my 18th birthday, I received a very, very memorable gift. All my friends at that time, you know, 17th birthday, 18th birthday, they were all getting cars, right? They were all getting big flashy gifts, a brand new, like, Corsas were the big thing. I don't know if they still are, but they were huge. Everyone was getting, like, a brand new Corsa with a private registration plate and the whole shebang. And although I was pretty realistic with what my parents perhaps could afford in the line of work that we're in, a new car probably wasn't going to happen, but I thought, oh, you just never know what you might get. You just might get something, you know, you just don't know. 18th birthday, you know, it's a big deal, right? I wonder, some people might already know what I got, because it's a story I've told before. But I received, not this one, but I received a electric toothbrush. Now, that in and of itself, an electric toothbrush has purpose. My mum bought it for a purpose. She had thought behind it. My mammy wanted me to have a good toothbrush so I'd be able to clean my teeth well. That's a good thought. Unfortunately, I didn't receive it particularly well. See, I was a bit ungrateful. I had a bit too much attitude, and I was acting up a bit like a spoiled kid. The funny thing is, that fast forward a number of years, this past Christmas, I was actually asking my mum, could you get me an electric toothbrush? And this is the electric toothbrush that she got me. Me and Becky got matching electric toothbrushes from my mum. I say my mum and my dad, but I'm sure my dad had nothing to do with it. It was just my mum. It's funny how our perspectives change. One of the most memorable and significant gifts that I've also received was for my 13th birthday. I remember my dad, he took me into Aberdeen City Centre to a music shop called R&B Music. It's now called Kenny's Music, if you've seen it. And he bought me my first proper acoustic guitar. And you guys, hopefully, you'll recognise this. This is she. I think you call your guitars by the feminine. I'm not sure. But this is my guitar. And I've had this guitar, I've used it, I've loved it for 15 years. That's crazy. And it's still doing great. And I absolutely love this guitar. I've been blessed by that gift. But I also hope that over the course of 15 years, that some other people may have been blessed by me using that gift. I'm for sure, however, that there's times when people haven't been blessed, because I've certainly had my fair share of bum notes on that guitar. But the best gifts that we get, I believe, are the ones that aren't useless, but the ones that we can use more. The ones that aren't useless, but the ones that we can use more. And that's the point of a gift. It is in the very DNA of a gift that you would open it. You're meant to open it and use it. That is the desire of the person that would be giving you the gift, for you to use it, for you to open it. Can you imagine a child waking up on Christmas morning, or maybe on their birthday, walking into the room where all the presents are wrapped and they're ready to be opened and played with, and the child says, thanks Santa, or thanks Mum, thanks Dad, and then proceeding to take every present into a cupboard, leaving them unopened to open them in the future at an unspecified date. Can you imagine a child doing that? No, you cannot. Because the whole idea of a gift is that it's to be opened. And the beauty is seeing a child opening a present or a gift. It's amazing. That's what gifts are for. And that is what gifts are meant to do. They're meant to be used and opened. And that is the same with spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that we are going to look at briefly this morning, they are meant to be used and walked in throughout all our lives. They're not meant to be given and stored away, sat upon, forgotten about. They're meant to be used. That's the whole purpose of the spiritual gifts. And the beautiful thing is that God gives spiritual gifts to all of us. Let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says this: to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It doesn't say to some. It doesn't say to a select few. It doesn't say to the pastor is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It doesn't say to the elder or the elders. It doesn't say to the worship leader. It doesn't say to the ministry team. It says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And as children of God, when we receive Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to God's children. So if you're a child of God, you actually can't say, well, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Because you do. We all do, as children of God, have spiritual gifts. We have received them from God. You may not be aware, you may have not opened it or used it, but it doesn't mean it's not already there, ready to be used, ready to be opened, and ready to be walked in. So we all have spiritual gifts. That might be a revelation for some of us this morning. Some that we are aware of, some that we may not be aware of, some that we can even say to God, God, would you give me this spiritual gift. And he may well do. The Greek word for gifts is charismata, which is comes from the word charis, which means grace. God's gifts to us, spiritual gifts, are gifts of grace. What has God gifted you with? See, these gifts that he gives, they're not earned. They're not deserved as such. It's a free gift, a gift of grace. And in fact, isn't our whole lives a gift of grace from God? Isn't everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we are talented at, everything that we are able to do, isn't it all a beautiful gift of grace from the Father? The gift of salvation being the most ultimate gift that we have received. The gift, the beautiful gift that many of us, but not all of us, have experienced in the gift of marriage. This beautiful reflection of Christ and the church. Wow. God's very heart is to give. God's very heart is to give good things and good gifts to his children. But I want us to look quickly just here at the list of spiritual gifts noted in the Bible. And we've got a fair few of them here in this passage that we're looking at, 1 Corinthians. But there's also others listed elsewhere. Perhaps one of these will strike a chord with you this morning and stand out to you. You might think, yes, I think God has given me that gift or that gift. We're not going to go into huge detail or any detail really at all these separate gifts, but I'm going to throw them out there and maybe one will land. Maybe one will strike a chord. Maybe something will strike for you, or maybe you'll think of someone else. When I'm reading these, you might think that person has that gift. That person may not even be aware of it. Because honestly, sometimes I struggle to see in myself what all my giftings are, what all that God has given me. So maybe it's useful actually to ask a close friend or someone in your house group or prayer triplet, maybe just ask them, what do you think my spiritual gifts are? Because that can be so helpful. And I've done that a number of times on a thing that we have often ran at this church called the Network Course. And others, during those times in the Network Course where we look at what our spiritual gifts might be and how we can serve the church, other people have noticed things in me that I didn't see. They say, Daniel, you have the gift of teaching. And perhaps I might have thought, not really. But they say, no. Or, Daniel, you've got the gift of evangelism. And I'm like, really? At different points in my life, people have called it out. People have said, Daniel, this is a gift of yours from the Holy Spirit. And I might not have been able to see it. What an amazing thing that we can do for each other, church, when we can call out the good in other people. We can call out their giftings. We can say, listen, I don't know if you see this, but I 100% see that you have the spiritual gift of this or that. I encourage you to maybe think about that and encourage someone today in that. Gifts, sometimes we can have without realizing. Sometimes we can be using them without realizing. But often we're not using them to the full extent that God desires us to do. And when we're aware of what our spiritual gifts are, it can help us to identify what they are and to ask God to help us to grow in them, because we do have to use them. And as we use them, we grow. So here are some of the different spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians that we're looking at, chapter 12, verses 8 to 10, talks about these gifts. Do any of these strike a chord? The gift of wisdom. The gift of knowledge. The gift of faith. The gift of healing. The gift of miracles, performing miracles. The gift of prophecy. The gift of discernment. The gift of tongues. The gift of interpretation of tongues. That's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. Later on in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gift of teaching, the gift of helps, the gift of administration. In Romans, it talks about the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, and the gift of mercy. And in Ephesians, we have the gift of evangelism and the gift of shepherding or pastoring. In 1 Peter, it talks about the gift of hospitality. In 1 Timothy, it talks about the gift of intercession. And in Exodus, it talks about the gift of craftsmanship or creativity. And also in Psalm 150, we see the gift of creative communication, perhaps through music and praise through instruments. Some amazing gifts there. Reading through that list, what has struck you as something that you think, maybe I have that gift? Perhaps some of these you might think, what really is that gift? What does that gift mean? I don't have time this morning to go through every single gift. But what I do want to do is I want you to be drawn and aware to this book here that, as I talk about the network course, this is the network course participants guide. And a lot of you have probably done the network course before, and you probably have this book. If you have this book, I want to encourage you to look at it again, to remind yourself of what some of the gifts are, because it lists every spiritual gift noted in these lists, and it gives a little explanation of them all, and it can be really helpful for you to be aware of what your giftings might well be. It might help you. If you don't have a copy of this book, The Network Course Participant Guide, please do get in touch with me after the service. Send me a message, email me, whatever it might be, daniel.ferguson@westhillcommunitychurch.org. I will make sure that we get you one of these books, because I'm aware that we do have quite a few of these somewhere. So I can get you one of these if you do not have it. But it can be so helpful just to look into some more detail about those spiritual gifts. The beautiful thing about all these gifts, the beautiful thing about these spiritual gifts is that, well, actually, we all have different ones, and that not everyone has them all. I certainly do not have all of those spiritual gifts. We have different ones. We're all made so unique, with different unique personalities, with different unique giftings, with different unique passions, and with different spiritual gifts that God gives us. And later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, towards the end, it says that, you know, not all are apostles, not all are prophets, not all are teachers, not everyone performs miracles or has gifts of healing, not everyone speaks in tongues. So not everyone has them all, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek them. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask God to give us those gifts if we don't have them or if we're not sure if we've got them. So not everyone has them all. We're unique, which is a special thing to remember this morning. So again, in verse 7, it says this: to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. So we all have different gifts, but why? It said it right there. To serve others. To serve and to build the body of Christ. In fact, what the Word of God is trying to get at here is that actually God doesn't give you your spiritual gift for you. He gives it to you for the sake of others. Isn't that so kingdom? To give you something for the sake of others. You have a unique set of gifts that are needed for the building up of the church, for the encouragement and equipping of the body of Christ, and for the advancement of God's kingdom. This is why we're given different gifts, because we're all needed and we're all a part of this huge story of God to see his kingdom come in full on the earth. So you have a huge part to play. You are needed. The church and the kingdom literally wouldn't be the same without you. It's not all about being on stage or getting to preach or getting to lead worship. It's about using what God has given you to build others. Imagine if Rory never played his guitar anymore. How gutting would that be for the rest of us if he wasn't using that gifting? Imagine if Charles decided never going to preach again. Listen, we would be worse for it. Imagine if Leslie Maver just stopped doing any kind of administration in the church and using her gifting, and she just thought, nah, not going to use that gift. What a shambles the place would be. And imagine if young Victor Coker, shout out Victor Coker, imagine if he refused to play drums. He just thought, no, I'm packing it in, I'm not playing drums anymore. I would literally cry, because I'm telling you, that boy's drumming brings me into the presence of God. And imagine if someone like Corey Yurt or Alistair Morrison, for instance, imagine if these people stopped helping others with more practical things. I certainly wouldn't have a piano in my house if it wasn't for Corey Yurt, and that's a whole other story that I can't go into today. Amongst a billion other things that Corey has personally done for me, my house and my family. What I'm trying to get at is we all have unique gifts from God. And these gifts are not meant to be sat upon. They're not meant to be put in a cupboard. They're not meant to be unopened and never used. They're meant to be opened up. They're meant to be used. So this morning, church family, I want to encourage you to actively seek the spiritual gifts, to actively find out what God has already given to you if you don't know, and to perhaps to even ask God for new gifts, but also perhaps to ask someone else that you trust and ask them what they think your spiritual gifts may be. Because the truth is that you are needed. You are important and you are loved. You have a part to play in God's great story and to help build his church and to advance his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and we ask you, Lord, to come fill us afresh. Just wherever we're watching this from, wherever you are watching this from, wherever you are in your house, I just want to encourage you, take a moment to be still, to be quiet. And you might even just want to put out your hands as a mark that you're just receiving from Jesus and his Holy Spirit right now. So let's just put our hands out like this. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come and you would fill us afresh with the glory of your presence. Holy Spirit, come and anoint us. Come and fill us afresh, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us good things, that you would give us good gifts, because you're the good Father. You're the good Father who gives good gifts to his children. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give your children the knowledge and insight as to what spiritual gifts you have blessed us with. Lord, if we're not sure, reveal them to us. Help us to find out what they are and to use them, to open them up, to use them for the advancement of your glory, for the advancement of the kingdom, and for the building up and equipping of the church. So anoint us and fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.